Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Again, let us pray. Brother Dylan Miller, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Well, tell me, are you ready for Christmas? Yes. I like that. There was some excitement and some zeal there. Wonderful. Christmas is a week away. And let me just remind you, on Christmas morning, we will have services, okay? Great way to celebrate Christmas by celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ in worship, okay? And next Sunday at 10:30, there will be no Sunday morning Bible study classes. But at 10:30, we'll begin our worship service. And it's going to be a great time in the Lord. So be sure and be a part of those services. But in getting ready for Christmas, you know, I thought, that's what God's doing here with the birth of John. God is getting ready for the birth of his child, Jesus Christ. His name, and one of the ways, I always love how God throughout the history of the Bible is always sending his word, his announcement to mankind. Our problem is we often don't listen, right? That's what John was about. John was going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ to declare him as the Messiah, the Son of God. And we're going to start today with a man named Zacharias. Zacharias, a priest. We start with his prayer and an unwavering determination that the man had in his prayer life. We read in the text how Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God. That says something. When God's Word points you out as being righteous before God, that's a testimony. Okay? These were people who walked in the commandments of God, well respected in the community. They took seriously their obedience and their faith in their God. Their one desire of life they did not have was a child. One desire. They've asked God and asked God and asked God up to this point, and nothing. Years and years and years have now gone by. The same prayer. Now they're old, and for all practical purposes, all hope is gone. Yet nothing. Have you ever prayed for God? Or prayed to God? One thing on your heart, on your soul, one thing you just really desired, and you just prayed and you prayed. Perhaps it's for a loved one. Perhaps it's for your health or whatever the case is. But it's just kind of that one controlling thing in your life, and you just pour your heart out to God over and over and over. God, please. God, please. And nothing? Have you ever done that? That's where they are. That's where they are. Oh, but they've been very unwavering in their prayer. And you know, as I thought about it, it would be very easy to say, well, God's not going to do this, forget it. Forget it and move on. But the way this is presented in the text, they had a prayer and they stuck with it. They kept bringing it before God. Not only did they have a prayer, but they had an unshaken devotion to God. You see, oftentimes when we think life is not going the way we think it's supposed to go, we back up and we say, well, just forget it. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard someone say, and I know I have, and say, it doesn't do any good to do right. It doesn't do any good to serve the Lord. Look where I am. I have years of service to the Lord, and look where I am today. Have you ever heard somebody say that? They just back up through. These were not that kind of people. These were going to serve the Lord no matter what. No answered prayer. They continued faithfully. And Zacharias continued to serve as a priest, it says in his division. You see, and let me tell you how this goes down. Priest in that day, and who Zacharias would have been, they would be called up to serve for 1 week twice a year. And it was Zacharias' turn to be called up and to serve in the temple for a week. And the text says his lot fell to burn incense. Now I want you to understand, when it says his lot fell to burn incense, this was a once in a lifetime opportunity. Okay? Usually there were so many priests that you didn't get to do this very often. And if you did get to do it, it was going to be this once-in-a-lifetime honor that you received. And so, it was Zechariah's turn to burn incense at the altar. Zechariah would have taken this specifically formulated mixture of incense that, when placed on the coals of fire, would create a pleasing aroma. And the way they would do it is there would be a couple other priests along with him, and they would take fire from the outer court on the altar of sacrifice. They would take the coals from that fire, and they would bring those coals in to the altar of incense. And the Zacharias, being that appointed one that day, he would have taken the incense and sprinkled it on the coals. That's what he did. As he sprinkled that incense on the coals, you could see it as the smoke just kind of ascended up. It would fill the cracks, the crevices. Once that incense was placed upon those coals, there's no stopping it. You know what's really cool about the altar of incense? You know what the burning of incense represents and that altar represents? It represents our prayers. You see, in the way it goes in the life of a child of God, you start on the outside by the altar of sacrifice. Who's our sacrifice? Jesus. You never make it to the altar of incense, the altar of prayer, until you go through Jesus, right? The sacrifice that Jesus made. But you leave that altar and you move into the holy place, right? Not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place. That's kind of the middle court, right? And so you move into that altar of incense, or that altar of prayer, and it's there. It's described, incense is described in the Bible as a sweet savor before God. Do you realize? See the picture, okay? That's your prayer life. You being a child of God and your prayers ascending up before heaven. And once those prayers are launched, there's no stopping them. They ascend up and God looks at it as a sweet, sweet smelling savor, a pleasing event, if you will. Let me ask you a question. Is that your prayer life? Is that your prayer life? That's what it's supposed to be. Not a, Lord, bless us, bless them, amen, here we go. But a time of communion, a time of sweet fellowship with God. Do you see the beauty? Do you see the beauty? Give me an amen, an oh me, or no, Doug, I don't get it. Okay, give me something. Because it's too important to miss. If this is not your prayer life, you're missing the joy. You're missing the glory. And Zacharias, he knew what it meant as he sprinkled that incense upon the altar. He knew, this is God's view of my prayer life. I wonder what Zacharias was praying for. I bet it was that same age-old prayer. Oh, Lord, I want a child. Lord, please send me a child. If you send me a child, I'll bring him up. I'll teach him about you. Lord, please send me a child. But still, there's nothing. There's nothing. Until we get to God's plan. You know, as I thought about the old song. You remember that song, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. You know, that's kind of where Zacharias is. But then we get to the point where Zacharias' prayer meets God's plan. There at that altar of prayer. Right in front of the Holy of Holies. Okay? The altar of incense just stood right outside the curtain where that on the other side of that curtain was the Holy of Holies. Now understand this, Zacharias, as he's burning this incense, is as close to the Lord as he's ever going to be. Okay? He would not have been allowed into the Holy of Holies. He could go into the Holies, the holy place, but not the Holy of Holies. And so as he performed this act, he knew this was as close to God as physically I can ever be. So he places the incense upon the coals and he kneels down and pours out his heart one last time. And the angel appeared. Standing the right side of the altar. You know, I know this thing because I ponder, right? Do you ever, but when I see an angel standing at the right side of the altar, I have to ask myself the question, why? Why is he standing on the right side of the altar? You want to know why? Where's Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. What's Zacharias doing? He's offering his prayers up to the Father, right? Before that altar of incense. And what is Jesus doing seated at the right hand of the Father? He's our mediator before God. He's bringing it before God. So as this angel appears on the right side of the altar of incense, it's a reminder. Hey, it's a reminder of Jesus who is yet to be born. But everything about this points to Jesus, you see. Anyway, the angel standing there at the right side of the altar says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. You've not been ignored. You've not been dismissed. You've not been disregarded. Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Now, Zacharias, here's the plan. You're going to have a son. You don't know what's cool. God had that plan from the very beginning. Yeah? Here, let me give you a reminder. When you pray and you don't receive an answer, that doesn't always mean no. Sometimes that means it's not the right time. Be patient. Hang in there. Don't lose faith. Don't quit. Keep it up, because there will come a time when your prayer meets God's plan. And then, beloved, that's when things happen. They surely thought nothing was ever going to happen. But at just the right time, God said, you're going to have a son. And this son is going to be great. And he does it in a manner that it could only be God. You got to love this part, okay? Because we read this, yeah, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're going to have a son, blah, 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 here we go. No, read it. He does something only God can do. All right? Elizabeth was barren, it says in the text. And literally that means incapable of having children. She was not physically able to have a child. And when you're not physically able to have a child, we don't know the condition, we don't know the cause, we don't know anything. We just know she was not physically able to have a child. So it had to be God that done this, right? And not only was she not physically able to have a child, they were both old. They were both beyond the age, okay, of having children. And so this had to be a God thing. Now back up and I want you to think about it. Don't you want your life and the things and your prayers happening within your life to be according to God's plan and to be a God thing? Then we come to purpose. You see, when prayers meet God's plan, then there's always a divine purpose. And John, this baby that we're dealing with, has a divine purpose. And that purpose is proved by God. It says he will be great. How many of your children are great? Come on, parents, you better raise your hands right now. Come on, come on. Come on. There we go. I've got great children. There you go. It's okay. But you want to know the extra reward here? The extra reward is, it didn't say he'll be great. It says he'll be great in the sight of God. Isn't that cool? That's where true greatness is. That's where our prayers meet with God's plan. That word great, the Greek word megas, means large. This is going to be a big guy in God's program. He's going to be a man who lives in the wilderness, wears camel's hair, and eats locusts and wild honey. Woo, what a success. Everybody will flock to him and say, John, I want to be like you. No. No. Success in our eyes and success in God's eyes are two different things. Okay? But he's going to be a man great in the sight of God. He's going to persuade a generation. Verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That word turn means to draw back or turn them around. And it goes on to say that he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children there in verse 17. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Did you know those two go together? We read that and it doesn't quite click. But those two phrases actually, they go together. When he says he'll turn the hearts of the father to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the wise. What he's talking about, he's talking about the fathers of that generation. The older guys of that generation. Okay? The guys who knew what it was to serve the Lord. The guys who knew what it was to put in God's program into practice in their lives. And what it's saying is, John's going to be this man that turns the hearts of the younger group, the children, to the wisdom of not only just the older group, but the wisdom of generations. You see, what had happened was there was a generation coming up that no longer had a zeal for God. Sound familiar? I mean, you know, they had not heard from God in forever. 300 years, I think it was. There had been no word from God for 300 years. And this was a generation that they were losing. And so John's job, I know it says prepare the way of the Lord, but John's job was to take a generation and turn that generation back toward the Lord. And God said that's what He's going to do. As I looked at that, I thought, man, considered our generation today, if I could tell our young people, our children, if I could give them anything, I'd give them a zeal for God. A zeal where they realize that God truly is real. That when they realize that when they get on their knees, they're literally talking to the Creator of this universe. That they realize that religion of mom and dad is not old-fashioned. That they no longer listen to the songs, the styles of songs. It's got to have this fast beat or it's old-fashioned music. That they no longer look at music that way, but they look at the content of the music. That they don't settle for anything less than a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Whereas, reviewing, going back, they know that when they get on their knees, they're bowing to that altar of incense and their prayers are literally permeating the atmosphere into heaven. You see, they're in zeal. That they know that there is only one way to heaven. And despite what's being preached throughout our country today, it is not a religion that gets you to heaven. There is one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. No other way. And that we get on fire for those old ancient teachings that have been prevalent since the days of Christ. That's where we need to go. If I could impart to our people, our generation today, if you will, that it's not about what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that matters. We can all play the religious game. Kids, you can come with mom and dad to church because mom and dad make you come to church. Mom and dad, you can come to church because it's what mom and dads do. What you're supposed to do. But let me ask you the question, where's your zeal? Where's your fire? That's what John the Baptist was about. Lighting a fire. Can you imagine being the parents of this child? The angel appears and says, Zacharias, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something really good. I'm going to give you a boy, and he's going to light Israel's fire. You want to know what churches need? We need revival. We need fire. We need to get back to what really matters, loving God and loving people. We need to prepare a people for the Lord. You see, John was going to bring people to the point where they could recognize the Messiah when He came. A lot of people didn't recognize Him, did they? You know how He was rejected by the builders, by the religious elite? He was refused by His own people because people weren't ready. I was thinking, I wonder what would be the reaction if Jesus showed up in this service today? Are you ready? Wouldn't it be cool? I'll tell you about it. It would be cool because if He showed up in this service, that'd mean we're leaving. My challenge to you today is don't settle for a commercial Christmas this year. Don't settle. You know, we all have our list. Check off, check off, and check off. And we get so busy that sometimes we forget what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about a people ready for the Lord. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? I don't know when He's coming. I know that He is coming. And my challenge to you, get ready to go. Because you're either going to be left behind or you're going to leave. One of the two things. Are you ready? You see, I want to be a John the Baptist. I'm not John the Baptist, but I want to be a John the Baptist and declare to you today that Jesus Christ is coming again. I want you to be ready when Jesus Christ comes again. Number one, you got to be saved. And I'm talking about you've committed your life to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about walking down an aisle. I'm not talking about getting in the baptistry. I'm talking about committing your life to Jesus because that's what matters. All right? You know, salvation is not a name on the church roll thing. Salvation is a name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you cry out to Jesus asking Him to save you, are you a child of God? Okay, have you followed the Lord in baptism? Okay, have you made it public? Well, Brother Doug, baptism doesn't save you. You're absolutely right, but this I know. Baptism's your declaration to the world who you belong to. Okay, and if you're ashamed of Jesus, Jesus says He'll be ashamed of you before His Father. Third thing, okay, are you faithful? Are you faithfully serving? You see, the Bible says, blessed is the man when the master comes, finds his servant working. Are you working like there's no tomorrow? If not, why not? Time for rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is today, if you need to become, if the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, I invite you to come. If He's leading you to rededicate your life, if He's leading, if you need to be saved, take care of it today. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, just the pictures of the Old Testament practices that point to Jesus. And so today, Lord, we just pray that your presence will permeate this place. I pray, Lord, that today you would hear our prayers and that you would kindle a zeal and a desire within us, a revival spirit to be fired up with you or for you and to declare you before the nations. I pray, Lord, that as we come to this invitation, you give us the courage to respond to your call. I pray your will be done in Jesus' name.